All right, all right, all right. Okay, we are live, and Sunil just ran in here like he was, what were you, stealing something from the office next door?
Yes, I had to quickly, I just had to go.
Put it in your bag.
Yeah, I'm going to go check if there are any fish around.
All right. She's seen your fish. So it's a busy morning. By the way, we'll be talking a little later on to Greg and Adam about the luxurious marble circus which happens this weekend. Mm. Sunil didn't know about it. How embarrassing. So busy. You're watching fish go round and round in a bowl, but you don't know what's happening in Joburg. This is like one of the, if not the biggest new event on the Joburg calendar, and it's happening this weekend.
Okay.
And it is enormous. It involves the best food, performances. It's a show. It's the venue is spectacular. People are dressing up.
Wow.
Mm, it's major.
It's a full-on Moulin Rouge kind of vibe.
Absolutely. And people are paying exorbitant prices for tickets, and they're not complaining because Joburg needs something like this.
Mm.
So it's very exciting. We'll be talking to Greg Walsh and Adam Byers just now about luxurious marble circus. So stick around for that. Very, very exciting. Sunil Osman is here, and he is you're kind of a regular. You've been on the show a couple of times.
Yeah, I have. I have. I mean, first time I was here when you just started back in the day.
Yeah, well, that's like what 10
I
years
was
ago.
Thin.
You.
No gray hair.
So you look how you've deteriorated. What the hell, man?
Maybe it's because I see you.
All right. So just for the benefit of people who don't know you on the show.
Yes.
You were talking about your acting stuff that you've been doing. You do a lot of MC work. You've done radio.
Yes.
So you're still doing all of that stuff.
I don't have a regular radio show. Every now and then I sit next to Gareth Cliff.
Someone here on our team was on, I think, YFM yesterday or something.
Yes.
And she said to me, why is it that everybody in radio sounds the same? And I said, because there aren't any original people in radio anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think that's unfair. I don't listen, so I don't know for a fact. But I don't know of anybody. Is there anyone noteworthy?
No. Look, there was.
What's happening in radio? I have no idea.
I think they've all lost the way they have to speak like this all the time.
Oh, God, that's irritating. Jesus, is that how they're still doing?
No. There's some really good radio stations out there at the moment that have popped up, some community stations as well. There's one in Joburg now I've been listening to quite closely.
Ooh, give them a plug.
They're 919.
Oh, is that hot?
Yeah. No, they were hot before, and now it's like...
See, I don't know which one's which. Honest to God, I don't think my car radio has ever switched to radio. I mean, I get in and it connects to Bluetooth. This is for the last 12 years. So I don't know what's going on. I'm not even that curious. I'm asking because you probably know more than me, and people are giving me feedback. So I need to know.
There was one girl that I've known her from the emceeing side of things, which, by the way,
a prostitute?
No. I'm sorry. And she's not a goldfish either.
Oh, sorry. I thought that was code that you were using there for something else. You know?
No, look, I'm sitting on a couch. I could
number
be cost.
12 best prostitute in all of South Africa.
I'm sitting
also
on
available on radio.
I'm sitting on Gareth's couch. It's a casting I was not
aware
of.
Do you not like these couches we've got here?
Maybe I'm just a bit too short, David, because...
No, dude, but it's too deep. We've got to actually replace them. James.
It's too deep.
Sort out these things. I want them gone by next Monday, all right? Bring us new ones.
The couches.
I don't like them.
They're too deep.
Also, it's this this suede-y sort of fabric which kind of leaves marks. I can find myself sometimes if it's a boring guest, I'm like making patterns in the
upholstery.
Oh,
that explains a lot. That explains a lot.
Beanbags. Hell no. What do you think we are? Hippies?
What?
Beanbags. Does anybody have beanbags in the... It's 2024, James.
Yeah. Now, they are a bit deep. They're just like the
prostitutes. Sorry, James's parents grew up making tie-dye clothes for him and smoking tons of weed. I don't want to make up stories about James's parents. They're lovely people. He's just a bit of a disaster.
I was just thinking, talking about radio. I mean, I was speaking about Nicole.
Oh, we're still talking?
Sorry,
you were telling me about a prostitute.
Yeah, I was saying that your prostitute... prostitute to as deep as your couch. So Nicole De Silva, she was very good, and she's terrific. Yeah,
where's she gone?
She's gone and got pregnant.
Ah,
so she's
mazel tov to her.
Do you remember Kula? back in the day.
I love Kula. I had Kula in here a while ago.
So she's actually now...
She's on that station.
She's on that station in the afternoons on the Saturday. Good. Broadcasting live from Texas. So
Kula and Druliakos.
Yes. Very nice. But anyway, Kula.
She was great.
Yeah, so I'm still doing the emceeing. I've got a new book that's going to be published very soon.
What's it about?
It's about the behind the scenes of my first book. So it's sex, drugs, and alcohol.
Jesus, Sunil, you've been a very bad human being.
What, I know, exactly. Look at the results.
Just remind me, because now you're a married man with goldfish. I mean, you couldn't be more boring if you tried. How did you go from sex, drugs, and alcohol to goldfish?
You learn to discover yourself.
No, but did you really have a problem?
No, I didn't have a problem. It's just about...
That's just clickbait then. You're just trying to get people to read your book. What do you read the book and it's actually about goldfish?
Well, it's actually about... how even though they see the way we are on social media and this and that, it's about the real behind the scenes. So they see Gareth and they don't know who Gareth actually is. They just see this image of him. So it's breaking down.
But that's because I don't want most people to be in my life. It's about what avoiding... I want people in my life for.
But that's you. You know what I mean?
Maybe
that's why all your animals have passed on, because you had rabbits and everything.
I have one dog. I had one dog before.
Yes, I remember that.
I replaced the one dog that died with the one dog that's there now.
Oh.
I'm not irresponsible like you with just 5,000 goldfish all over my fucking house. So let me ask you something.
Yes.
Have you found that being in the public eye, so to speak, having a job that is public?
Yes.
And listen, most people are somehow public these days, thanks to social media, right?
Yes.
Do you find that that makes you more social and gregarious, or that it makes you more antisocial and hermit-like?
Well, it does confuse people, especially when it comes to me, because one minute I'm a Reiki master, spiritual guy.
Yeah, you do that shit too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I'm a Reiki master. I do house cleansings and I do chakra alignments and auri cleansings.
People pay you for this?
Yes.
Yeah.
And then...
You come in and you gonga longa long gong gong.
Well, my gonga a bit longer longer.
Yeah, but then you come in, what do you ring a bell and then you clear out the bad spirits and shit?
That's a very uneducated opinion. But
please. If you want to, if anyone has a haunted house that's worth like 15 million and you can't sell it,
give me a shout.
I'll buy it, because I don't give a shit about, I'm not gonna buy it for 15 million. You have to give me a reduced price. But
yeah.
I'm not scared of haunted houses. I'll take it.
I once was in a bed that lifted off the ground.
Oh, what nonsense.
Seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Just explain this. Now you're going to tell me the whole story.
All right. Okay. So this is a good 10 years ago. And I was laying in bed with my then partner. And we were about to get the, heebie-jeebies.
Right.
We were about to have sex.
Yeah. Well, I think we figured that out. Yes.
Sure.
Go on.
Okay. And then the bed lifted and started shaking. So we were elevated off the ground.
Was it one of those mechanical beds?
Nope. It was actually, we've heard.
What do you think it was?
Well, we were told when we went back the next day that place had that haunted experience before.
You both experienced this?
At the same time.
Together?
Yes.
So you can't say it was one person's imagination?
No. She was in tears at the time. Afterwards.
Is it possible that you're very bad in bed and that... that she had such a terrible experience that she was kind of falling asleep, dreaming that she wishes she was with someone else, and then she felt this
sensation. We hadn't gotten to the point of starting to even try.
Do you really believe that a spirit got into that like room and
lifted.
Rattled the bed?
Yes. How else? You want to explain it?
I think you were both high.
I don't smoke weed.
Maybe you were both drunk. So we've cut out the sex, the drugs, and the alcohol.
And now the book.
So what's this new book about?
So the new book is about, it's basically a breakdown of my first book, which is Sunny Motive.
Okay.
Available at sunilosman.com.
Right. If you didn't know who he was, he's got it on his jacket.
Yeah, sponsored by Swag Clothing. Thank you very much. And I'm just all over.
I think it's so funny that you got your face on your clothes.
That's my logo, man. That's my logo. You should see my back. Anyway.
Is there one on the back as well?
Of course.
No, go down here so that you can show it off properly.
Are you asking me to go down on you?
Go down on the floor, you idiot. go down on the floor here. Look, look, show everybody. Look at his jacket with him on it.
This is how the casting couch videos start. If you know, you know.
All right, you can get back up now. We've laughed enough.
All right. Okay, no, seriously. So the book is being edited right now by my publisher, and they're busy, and we're hoping to...
Are they going
to
edit out bullshit like rattling beds that lift off the ground?
Yeah, probably, but also, I mean, I'll
tell you what, I'd enjoy your book up to that point, and then I'd go, nah.
Yeah. But Lauren Moy Publishing, which is a single female-owned business company publishing, and she's busy editing and everything right now. So,
all right, so I give you a lot of shit about doing all of these different things, but I kind of admire the fact that you do the acting, the radio, the MC work. I mean, you said you were hosting like a bingo night at Silver Star Casino.
Yes.
I mean, I admire the fact that you are a hustler. You'll get out there and work.
Yes.
And then the Reiki stuff, did you do a course? Did you learn to do this, or did you just figure it out yourself?
No, I was trained by another Reiki master.
So what is Reiki again for people who don't know at all?
Yeah.
And how long do you have to train for something like that?
Well, you know, some people have like these weekend crash courses on doing Reiki. And I mean, with all due respect to that.
Leave people's chakras in a disastrous state.
Basically. And I mean, with all due respect, it took me a good couple of years because there's a lot of processing and healing and finding out who you really are and all those letting go of things.
Because you have to be in a good state to be able to make other people better.
Basically. I mean, we all are always having triggers. We all have things. I'm not an angel.
No.
I mean, I'm probably going to have a brandy tomorrow kind of thing, you know?
Sure.
Which is why people get, like I said earlier, people get confused. Yeah, I'm this Reiki master and then suddenly I'm having a drink. What? We don't sit in temples going like this whole day.
No.
So yes, I did.
Swami.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some people call me Guru Sunny. My nickname was Sunny. Guru Sunny. That was my nickname. But anyway, so then, yeah, so there are different levels. I mean, Reiki is basically, you don't have to touch.
My nickname was, by the way, when I was a Reiki master, do you know what my nickname was?
Oh gosh, here it comes.
I was Swami Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada.
Proud like Pada.
Prabhupada. I was the real thing. But that was in a previous life. Let's just leave it alone.
Yes, another lifetime.
I don't want to dig too deep.
Yeah. Another lifetime.
But yeah. There were many things. I healed many many people and many animals and changed the world for the better.
Yeah. I do believe that you have healed a lot of people, but that's another story. Yeah, so I mean, I did get trained by Reiki Master, and it's a spiritual, energetic healing. And I've got clients in the UK, in the US.
What do? Do you touch people? Do you talk to them? Do you just... What
so I mean, if
how
I'm
does
doing,
it actually work?
If I'm doing a distant healing, so say for somebody that's overseas or... Oh. And they're not able to make a face-to-face meeting, then I would go into a meditative state. I would protect myself energetically because you're obviously taking on a lot of crap.
Yeah.
And then I'd be able to connect with them. But you always have to get permission. You can't just go, okay, you need healing. Let me go.
It's like sex. You can't just take advantage of someone in the street.
No.
You have to ask their permission.
Yeah, or pay them. You know.
And do you encounter very, very bad energy with people? Do you find people who are severely intoxicated by nastiness and malevolence?
I do. I mean, and sometimes
how does that manifest? And
so you
experience.
I'll find people who have more triggers are the ones that are more damaged, and need more healing.
But they're always on edge.
On edge, or something like just at a red traffic light will trigger them off.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's about stating releasing anxiety, being calmness, and you know, you don't go shoo-ya all the day because we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Sure.
We don't live on an island where we're living out of the ground the whole time. So you're gonna have the influences, which is part of the reason I don't have like a TV, because I believe that media is so controlled, and then you start forming things in your head. So you get these people who are unhealed and they are traumatizing other people.
Yeah. Oh no, you can see it.
And so that's I sure. encountered that quite a bit. And what people don't understand about Reiki is you can't just go, okay, I was heartbroken when I was 5 years old and I'm going to go see Sunil as a Reiki master for one session. Then it's over and done with. It's a journey. Because once you healed one thing, then something else comes up. Something else comes up. Something else comes
up. Keep them on the payroll.
That would be a nice. But then you get to the stage where you say, okay, it's now up to you to say, Sunil, I need to see you.
And how do you know when you are healed?
You become more aware. So if a red traffic light triggers you, I'm using that as an example throughout this. If a red traffic light triggers you all the time, you know the red traffic light is coming, you're going to go, okay, I'm not going to let this trigger me now.
Right. Do you think I need this?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You reckon?
I do.
You reckon I got big problems?
No, I don't think you have big problems. I just don't think you realize how powerful you are as a healer.
Okay, so
because we're all healers at the end of the day.
If I give you permission now, what would that entail? So I go, you can climb into my spirit or my soul and sort me out.
Well, I don't do any sessions with anybody that doesn't do what I call the infinity breathing. So infinity breathing helps your body calm down. And then I can then get permission from you to connect. And I would do what's called a scan. So I would scan your body, but always protected. Remember, everybody's a healer. But not everybody knows how to do it.
Yeah. No, listen, I mean, I pretend to be skeptical all the time, but I'm actually only skeptical half the time.
Yeah.
I find a lot of this stuff is tremendously valuable to people. And because we live in a world where everybody is under such pressure and there's a lot of stress and, you know, there are things that would drive people into survival mode all the time. If you find that Reiki is the thing that helps you, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to just mock and ridicule all this stuff relentlessly. Now I think if it has a place in making people better and giving them an opportunity to heal, as you put it, I think that's great.
Yeah.
Reason why not.
There are so many people who are going on this awakening journey that they don't even realize it. And then there are those who start the journey and then they want to leap forward. When they actually have so much to actually still process. And that's what I encounter a lot. Or some people will just go, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
And
a wall.
Yeah. And I'm like, whatever. I mean, because I don't reach out to people ever. I let them come to me. So I'll talk about it and do it, but I let them come to me. Like there was somebody who actually saw me on your show a while back, and they we did a WhatsApp video session, and then they asked me to come and do their house, but they never ever came back to me. But I'm not going to push it.
Okay.
Because if you're not, it's not for you, it's not for you. And I'm not going to force it on anybody.
So Percy says, Gareth, if he is a Reiki master, he should be able to put his hands in front of your closed eyes and make you see turquoise. I wouldn't let him touch me if he drinks booze. Is that true that you could put your hands here and I'll see turquoise?
You might feel warmth if I activate the energies, but I won't be able to do
warmth.
It now.
There's warmth emanating from your body. You're at, 38 degrees or
whatever? Yeah, but you feel a vibration. So, for example, I was busy doing something for one of my clients the other day, and there was a full-on like vibration. But I had to be really in that state.
Like you could hear a sound?
Yeah. You can feel it, hear it, everything. And then when they came out, they were like, oh, I heard this funny sound. I'm like, I just go,
Where did this come from?
It was purely because of
No. Where does Reiki come from?
So
what's the origin?
It's Japan.
Oh, it's Japan.
Japanese energy healing technique.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you do that? And what are the other things?
As do emceeing.
No, the house where you banish the spirits from the house.
Yeah, so it's...
Because, I mean, sangomas do that too, right?
Yeah.
They come in and they remove bad muti.
Yeah.
If people have got, like, spirits in the house that you don't want there, they can get them out.
Yeah, so I did a house in Johannesburg. Because, I mean, I do fly around to people who ask me to come to them. And there was a sangoma that went there afterwards and said, you've already had a healer here.
Oh.
Because they felt the energy.
So you can actually, even though you're from different disciplines,
yes,
the Sangoma recognized that you'd come and done
energy,
some.
Yeah. You must remember, everybody.
What do you do there? You go in and say, right, out, bad spot, like Lady Macbeth. What do you do?
Well, it's not. When people think about that, they always think it's negative. It's not always negative. Sometimes just stagnant energy. So James walking in here could have been with three women last night. And he's carrying carrying that energy with him in here, and it brings it into the space.
A very evil orgy energy,
basically, which is turning me on. Which is why I keep thinking this is a casting couch, but it's about just releasing the energy and bringing peace to the place. And I've had people do that.
Do you just feel this?
Yes.
So what do you say? I mean, like if I could film you without you knowing, what would I see if you walk into the house where the person has said, listen, there's some bad shit going down in this house. Yeah. I need you to clear it.
Yeah. So you'd first see me place protection symbols. So it's around myself. And also if I prepared for it the night before. So people think it's just a matter of this. I prepared a couple of hours before. I will be able to send protection to the house that I'm going to. So when I get there, I'm not going to encounter anything too hectic. So I start doing the process of the cleansing and the clearing of the energy. So what you'd see is me going into a grounding state. Then when I'm connected, you'd see me do the different symbols. In fact, that's a symbol
with
right
your
there.
Hands.
With my hands.
Okay.
And you don't always have to use your hands. Well, I'm at the level now, and it's quite weird because I've up quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called like a spiritual upgrade.
Yeah.
And I'll get to the level where I can just stand.
Are you like a black belt bad spirit chaser?
Black belt three stripes kind of thing.
Oh, Jesus, you're fucking important. Yeah. Okay, you've sensed any bad spirits in here?
I do.
But there are, really?
Yeah, the stagnant one right in the corner.
In that corner. Well, that's because fuck all happens in that corner.
Well, that's why it's stagnant.
So get rid of it. Go on.
Right now?
Yeah, why not?
Well, you pay me.
I've got time.
You said payroll.
How much do I have to pay for this?
So for this will be about 1.5.
1.5?
Yeah, because it's not a 5 minutes process.
Fuck off. I'll just get Flex and James to move that cupboard. That's all we need
but
to do.
It's always really? About this. It's always about the size.
Okay, so when you go and you talk about protection,
yes.
What worries me about that is that most of us walk into places and we don't know anything. We're not getting protection. Those bad spirits, if they are such things, they're going to just go for you because you protected.
Yeah. It's not bad spirits. It's energy. It's energy. Like if you go out for a dinner or something and you just, you get that uneasy feeling sometimes. You're just like, I don't want to be here.
Oh, no, I feel like that all the time.
But that's because you're Gareth Cliff.
But I did talk about someone the other day, and maybe you can help me understand
this.
So one of my mates brought his girlfriend to a thing, and she was like an energy demon. She just sucked all the happiness out of the room.
Energy vampire.
She just made everything shit.
Yes.
And it was the first time I met her. We were all very excited to meet her.
Yes.
There was no preconceived notions. We're happy that our friend is now with this girl. Yeses.
Did you want to say to her who
hurt
you?
This is a while ago. This is like 3-4 months ago, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to remember a little more detail to give you some ammo here. But she just, everywhere she went throughout this place, people just wanted to get away from her.
Mm.
Now, she's not an ornery, difficult person. She didn't come in and like start arguing.
Yes.
She wasn't combative and aggressive or any of that stuff. And she didn't even say anything that was particularly, controversial. She was when she was there, it felt like you needed to get away. And what do you think's going on there?
Just bad energy, bad vibrations.
Can she fix that?
Yeah.
Can she do something about it, or is she trapped forever to be this energy vampire?
Well, maybe
the way she is.
Maybe her name would be like something like Victoria, but
I can't even tell you what her name was.
Yeah. But it's she can, but sometimes people just don't gel.
Well, he doesn't mind because clearly he's been with her for a while and he really likes her. He doesn't see that. Everyone else is like, wow, I don't think she likes us. I don't think she wants to talk to any of us. It, she kind of looks at people. It's very bizarre.
Well, that's probably it. But maybe she's looking too hard into...
Maybe she's staring into our souls. And
basically,
there's nothing,
without even knowing
nothing to commend us to her. Huh?
Love is the stronger energy. She needs to learn to love and stop staring.
It's very weird, man. I could have done with some. I would have paid you to Reiki the fuck out.
Well,
she was a problem.
Yeah, and you know, I was speaking about the alcohol earlier, and it's like what alcohol does is actually opens up the pineal gland a bit more.
Ah, yes. Now we're talking about the pineal gland.
Yeah,
this is very good.
And so what happens is that you actually feel more. And I had to learn to keep quiet because if I have one or two more drinks than I should, I would go to...
I'd like you to open up a whole new category of drunk Reiki. I think you should do the Reiki, but you should do it hammered.
I have.
And?
It took a lot of self-awareness and control.
But you could do something with it?
And I could feel I had to stop at a certain point because then it becomes too much.
Why? Because the alcohol interferes?
It does.
Is alcohol a bad thing for Reiki?
Not if you learn how to manage it.
All right. Well, I'm learning all kinds of things. I mean, I could talk to you about this for ages, but there's a huge event happening in Johannesburg.
The one I didn't know about.
The one you didn't know about. You're the only person in the whole fucking city who doesn't know about this. It's very embarrassing, and I want you to learn. In fact, I've only brought Adam and Greg here to teach you
yes.
about how this works. So I've got Greg Walsh here, who's no stranger to the show either. He's also a good friend of mine.
Okay.
And Adam Byers, nice to see you. Ad, how are you? Nice to see you, dude.
Thank you.
You're good. Hello, good to have you both here. Move over a little bit, Samuel. Don't be so fucking
hugging the whole couch. I don't want to sit on his lap.
You know, really.
I'm staring at his hat.
His hat's very cool.
Yeah. Thank you. And the hoodie.
Actually, I thought I'd be very kind and represent Grid today. So we have the same.
Yeah.
And that wasn't planned.
It's funny. I saw your partner, Nathan, the other night at one of my ex's birthday parties. And I see you guys often.
Yes.
And they have the best smelling office in the whole fucking world.
Yeah, you're right.
They really do. I mean, it's very cool there. Everybody seems to just be on a level that's just way cooler than I'm used to. Anyway, we've got Adam and Greg here. We've got luxurious marble circus happening this weekend, which is food, performances, people are dressing up, the venue spectacular. Everything about it is just, I don't think I've certainly in the circles that I move in heard anybody get as excited about an event, a big event in Joburg for a long time. I know that was your purpose. You've achieved that already. Whatever happens this weekend, I think it's going down as like this is the new cool thing that people in Joburg want to do. This city's been waiting for something cool to do for a long time. Do you agree, Adam?
Absolutely. I think South Africa's been waiting for something like this. Just the scale of it, you know, like we travel every year. So many people save up to go to Tomorrowland or Coachella.
Yeah.
We don't have to do that anymore. We can do that. We do that in South Africa. And I think the luxurious marble circus will deliver on exactly that.
So it's so funny. I was talking to David Higgs, who's obviously involved, Marble, Saint, those guys, they're a massive part of this whole operation. Gregor, when you put this together in your head, because it started with you, what was your intention and how has it changed between when it originally came to you as a concept and now that it's actually happening?
So I think the first concept, it actually all started, Dino from the Marble Group, who you know, gave me a call and said, and it's almost 2 years ago, it was November, 2022. And he said, do you think we can do a festival? Mm. And it was like giving a dog a bone. Because I was like, hold on, Marble Group.
Yeah,
I mean, Marble Group, incredible restaurants, cult following. You know, those places are packed day and night. They're known for a level of service. And I don't think that there's anything to match them in certainly Gauteng. No. And no doubt soon with what they're opening in the Western Cape. So I was like, hold on. I started stewing on this. Mm. And the initial plan was, let's put Marble Group in a field. So you'll have a pantry pop-up, like a deli, where you can go and buy your kind of more walk-around food. There'll be picnic boxes. And then you'll have three sort of lounges, a zoo lounge, a marble lounge, and a saint lounge, and a stage. And that's where it started. We actually developed the concept before Eddie and the team from Grid got involved. And quite rightly, the Marble Group eventually said, look, guys, look, this is really cool. We're loving where this is going. But like, the brand's a bit shit. It was going to be called Boutique. And they said, we just think we need to bring Eddie and the team in from Grid to come up with, how do we frame this? What do we call it? You know, what is the brand going to look and feel like? Because if we're going to pitch a festival at the level that we're now starting to design at, it can't be of that logo and be called Boutique. And that's where these guys came and absolutely blew my mind. I mean, how we went from, you know, what we thought was going to be like Tomorrowland, Coachella. Mm. They're all these one-named, you know, Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
You know, but to the luxurious marble circus.
Yeah, I mean, look at this. Magnificent.
And, I recognize it now.
No, you've seen it before.
Yeah.
There we go.
Look, he's just a bit slow. We woke him up early this morning and it takes him a little while.
Yeah, I'm here now.
I think you were puzzling last night. But look at that. That's magnificent. And I mean, you know, big brands involved here. We got Marble, Zoo, Saint, you said already. And then you've got Investec as a main sponsor. This is what it's going to look like. Wow. I mean, that to me, that's just mind-blowing.
Right now, it looks like a hole in a scaffolding. But I promise you, on Saturday, it will look like that. I think this was the beauty of being given, having an idea to do something completely out of the ordinary and exceptional, then being given the brand tools to play with. That was the catalyst that took it from, let's build beautiful marquees with gorgeous furniture and a big stage, to hold on, we've got a story to tell now. We've got the luxurious marble circus, and the whole story, and Ad will speak better than me to it, is inspired by the world of Wes Anderson movies.
Okay.
And if you look at that stage, you may have picked up the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yep, indeed. And okay, so tell me where this came into it, because that's where you guys brought it.
So I tell you, there is always a backstory. So when I think we were engaged probably like August, September last year, and eventually we met with Greg and Dino and the team. And we got the brief. We got a big blank piece of paper. We said, listen, we're going to sell 6,000 tickets, 3,000 per day. We were talking about it now outside. And at the time, it felt presumptuous, but you need a big, big idea. Like South Africa needed a big property that we could own, something we could be proud of. And Greg's like, listen, guys, here's the brief. Go forth and come back in a few weeks. But the challenge is he hit us in September, October last year. Now, you know, Gareth, you know that everyone's energy levels are starting to dip. And a few weeks went by and I'm like, I haven't heard from Greg and he hasn't heard from me. He's like, listen, Ed, like, what is going on? Yeah, bro, you guys in, we out. I said, dude, just like bear with me. I'm just navigating a few things on our side. And in the end, you know, we sat down as a team. And it was spearheaded by Nate. You know, he is the creative genius in the business. And he brought in a really big team around him. And he's like, listen, guys, we cannot just create a festival. We've got to create something that is way beyond that. And there was a big strategic component. And the strategy itself proved that the white space was that generally a festival is an outdoor table, a shitty plastic cup, a lot of dust, a lot of everything going around. It's just actually, we cannot in South Africa cater for an amazing outdoor experience. And we were like, hold on, how do we elevate that? And that actually was the white space for us. So how do you create an outdoor day-night experience where this thing evolves into a fantastical, magical experience? And then at the end of it, one thing that congregates people, and there's a ringmaster, and there are characters, and there are wild animals, and there are tamed animals, and there are kids of joy, and there are families of joy, is a circus. And I don't know if you remember the Boswell Wilkie Circus from many, many years ago. And in our minds, we said, listen, like if I said to you, Marble's going to build a residency, you already in your mind have an idea of what that would look like.
Right.
If we said to you, Marble's going to build a hotel, you know what Marble, that hotel, right. You get a feel for it. You even said, you know, from a grid point of view, you'd get a smell.
Yeah.
When you go to Marble, there's a smell insane. Right. So we said, imagine if Marble hosted a circus. It brought everyone together. And then you cannot forget that Marble's not just Marble. The Marble Hospitality Group is about luxury. It's about premium. It's about an elevated, immersive experience. Hence, we came up with this idea of the luxurious Marble Circus. And the big headline for us was the luxurious Marble Circus comes to town.
So, I mean, it'll appeal to people on a number of different levels. And I found this fascinating because I do think that people in Johannesburg, look, people all over the world, but people in Joburg want to have something really cool to look forward to.
Yeah.
And they want to go to a thing where if you're a foodie, you're going to be blown away by the food. If you're the kind of person who needs constant like visual stimulation of stuff happening around you all the time, you're going to get that. There's going to be an occasion for people to dress up and they love that too. So it's going to appeal to a bunch of different people in different ways. And also, you know, like there's levels of what you're going to have. There's this proper dining experience as opposed to like just the festival, let's go and get drunk thing.
Mm. Yeah.
So all of that can happen in one place and for a whole weekend.
So I think that's probably the most unique part of this. And that's also been the most difficult part to articulate. People are like, what is it?
Yeah.
Like, and I think we're not going to be able to tell you exactly what it is until you've finally been and we tell the story afterwards. And that's
he's not coming. He didn't buy a ticket.
So. No, well, I'm screwed.
Maybe we can make something happen.
No, don't help him.
So
he didn't even know what it was. Like 40 minutes ago, he was like, oh, what's that?
No, well, I saw the pink flamingo. I was like, ah.
Also, I just before you carry on, Gregor, it's really, I mean, to wrangle all of this together logistically and operationally is a major thing. I mean, I've seen you do big events before. Is this one of the biggest?
It's the biggest.
The biggest.
Yeah, I think you've been to some of the big ones. You've been to, particularly, if I remember back, Sensation, Armin van Buuren's Armin Only. Mm-hmm. Those were big gigs, but they were big in a single frame.
Yeah.
They were in an indoor arena. We had a technical rider from an international producer that we could follow.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to do the marketing and make it all beautiful and bring it together. But this is one we've had to create everything that it is, every last touch point. And it's the biggest festival we've done, not in terms of the number of people by any stretch, but in terms of the scale of the detail, the size of the stages, the size of the dining rooms, what you're going to read on the menus, what you heard in the marketing. The show moments are...
Yeah.
Eddie's had a little taste, but I'm not even showing them in full with Ed because I want him to see them for the first time. We do something called the Mega Mix, and we do it at Rage Festival, and it's a big moment. We tell a big story and goosebumps, and we call ourselves the Goosebumps Company for that reason.
This is G&G.
We were like, G&G, how do we do a show moment the whole day, basically? So you've got a music festival because you've got great artists, and we've got incredible acts who are also not just coming as themselves. They're coming as themselves plus plus. So if you talk about somebody like Zach Spantwini, he's got a 14-piece accompany with him.
I saw a clip on Instagram of your orchestra.
Yes.
Like rehearsing.
Well, so truth be told,
we
came across Meuter, the German marching band, who just are internet sensations. We were like, we want to book them. And there was just no logistics to have a gig this Thursday in Amsterdam. There was no way to get them here in time. So we're like, we'll make our own. So we've assembled our own now 16-piece band called the Luxurious Marble Circus Band. We've had to score the music.
Yeah.
Your company. It's incredible. Sure.
Gareth, I just want to go back to your point. I'm going to interrupt you, Greg. You said something earlier is that South Africans, I don't even think it's a Gauteng thing. South Africans love to look forward to something. Remember 2010 World Cup?
Yes.
And when that was finished, we didn't know what to do with ourselves. And then we started to build up other things. And last year, this time, we were so consumed in the Rugby World Cup in Paris. And every time we played, we knew we were a step closer. We lost to Ireland. We all fell back, but we didn't believe. So a year ago, and even almost to the day, 28th of October, we were so consumed in the World Cup. And this year, you know, I'll never forget Greg. He's like, Ad, we got to get South Africa rallying behind something. South Africans love to look forward and we love to convene. And that's what we want the circus to be. Like we want to pull the whole of Joburg. We know we've got ticket people flying in from PE. We've got a huge contingency of support coming in from Cape Town. So we know the need is there. So this idea of bringing South Africans together, and just, we love as South Africans, we celebrate by breaking bread, we celebrate over music, we celebrate our diversity, and that's what it's got to be about. And then I think to Greg's point, and I want to really commend Greg because he has led the project. I do worry about his health in every way. He's a bit croaky and I'm worried.
He was meant to be here last Monday, called in sick on Sunday night. But, it's weakness, it's his old age. He's become very silver in his heart.
Very silver.
But I tell you, the detail in the curation. And I think if you go back to where you said, look at the big brands that are involved. And I think that was the idea of when the consortium was put together, that is Luxurious Marble Circus. You got the best in hospitality. You got the best, as you know, in production and the curation and the logistics that come with an event. And, you know, from a grid point of view, you've got this big, big idea, elevated thinking. Put the three together and it culminates 100%. Into the Luxurious Marble Circus.
It's a really audacious idea and I love it. But I want you to boast a little bit about the scale of this thing. Give people an idea of, you know, the kind of staging that you're doing, the number of people that are going to be there, the amount of food that you're dealing with. I mean, I know you're into all of this because you look at spreadsheets all day.
Yeah.
This is Greg's favorite thing. You know, some of us get off on actually having the experience. Greg is like, I want to see the numbers. tell us about the numbers, Gregor.
So I think the most impressive part, maybe the bit that fuels me from a purpose perspective the most, is the show moments. And there's eight of them. So if you're coming to the festival, don't miss the eight show moments. The first one on Saturday, I think, start at 5. And you'll see it. There's huge, big programs printed on massive towers. It'll be online. Don't miss the eight show moments because they have been 7 months in the planning. Yeah. In fact, in your very beautiful studio here, we shot the Ringmaster. the ringmaster's voice for all those show moments and her face on green screen that then got put to visuals. And the whole stage is video mapped. There's four big laser projectors firing at that stage. So as soon as we're dark, there's a beautiful moment where she says, "I command the luxurious marble circus stage come to life." And I really believe it's going to be mind-blowing.
And by the way, just so people know too, I mean, Greg has done all of the research. He's been to all the events all over Europe and the rest of the world. He's seen what the best in the business are doing. And I have no doubt you're going to be bringing some of that to it too.
Totally. So if you look at that, I mean, I get very excited about shows, but the stage is a big thing. It's 15 and some change meters high. It's 38 meters wide. It's also between ourselves, Kilowatt, the production house, Grid. That stage is 6 months of change this. We're going to go back, change that to get it right. We've got the two dining rooms. So the one is inspired by marble, the one by lounge. The one inspired by Saint, is called the Royal Lounge. Mm-hmm. That will seat 640 people a day. And right next door to it, you've got the Grand Dining Room. That will seat 586 people a day. Behind those, you've got an 800 square meter marquee to service them with two kitchens, two separate bars. We've probably got 500 people just working those two marquees. They're raised up. We couldn't fit. Ground is beautiful, but it's over manicured for what we need. So there's too many things in the way. So the only way to fit these lounges with proximity to stage and fit people in front was to build them on top of Ground's vineyard. So 10 days ago, we started building with layer scaff. These where you are going to sit at your table, and I know where your table is.
Yeah, by the way, I bought my ticket.
Gareth bought his table.
I don't think that I was skiving off of Greg, and then we got him in here this morning so I can get a free fucking ticket. No. I bought it,
and that's after I invited you. I invited you to come, true. And you said no. I'm buying my table.
No, but I also think it's, you know, you got to support your friends, and I've been to a lot of your things. You've never ever disappointed. I know that also you're a visionary, and I know that you've brought in the best in the business here with Adam and with Nathan and with all the guys from Saint and from Marble and all the rest of it. But what I'm excited about here is that this is totally new. Mm. It's like nothing we've done before in South Africa. Yeah. Mm. And I like that. I like that we're going to perhaps see the beginning of something which we will become world famous for.
Yes,
yeah. Listen, we've got huge aspirations to scale this. We're definitely going to go to Cape Town in the first quarter of 2026. So it'll be in Joburg every year. We'll then switch on Cape Town every year from 2026. And then we're all talking about the Middle East. We want to export this. We've actually had conversations with the guys from the Chamber of Dubai locally.
And I also think it's worth giving credit here for being unashamedly about luxury and the top end stuff. Like, we live in a country of enormous diversity and enormous inequality and all that shit. But frankly, we spend an enormous amount of time talking about the problems instead of giving the people who have worked really hard and want to have one weekend of extraordinary experience the opportunity to do that. Why must they go? And it's, you know, it's like someone said to me once, why have a shitty cup of, you know, granular coffee every day if you can have that one cup of coffee be spectacular? Yeah. Why not have one weekend of absolutely spectacular luxury experience, great food, lovely people, the most incredible atmosphere imaginable, and then go back to your life inspired on the Monday, as opposed to like, well, just have a couple of beers with my mates on the Friday, which is just so dreary and boring. Yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think, you know, the other point I want to make is, you know, as creative agencies, our industry has become so submissive to the idea of waiting for clients to brief us on something.
Thank you.
And that was a big drive for us, where we said, you know, from a Grid point of view, we've recently opened 608 Entertainment. And the whole idea is, think F1. F1 doesn't wait for brands to sponsor it so it can deliver the F1 series. Mm. They attract big brands. And we said, listen, for us, it was a case of the three entities backing themselves from a hospitality point of view, from a production and a visionary point of view, and then from a creative point of view. Put that together, and we delivered. We almost launched that thing, you know, in the absence of real big sponsors on board as yet. We launched it knowing we got to back ourselves.
But so, then congrats to Investec for seeing the opportunity. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because that's really, I mean, they back lots of brilliant businesses. They have very, very smart people who work there. They have a reputation which is nothing like other financial institutions.
Yeah.
And therefore, it makes sense for them to be involved with something that's truly groundbreaking.
Yeah, and out of the ordinary. I think, again, so, you know, if you go back to this idea...
Oh, you just used their line. Out of the ordinary. You're such an ad now. Huh? Look at him.
So, but yeah, I think to your point, like the scale of it is just absolutely... And again, you know, if you... You know, look at the entertainment lineup. It's just the best of the best. And I just love the fact that, you know, Greg and the guys have gone back in time. You know, you go back with George Sachs and you go back with so many different Dean Fuel. We all grew up with him in Cape Town. Awesome. And then it grows and it evolves into, you know, Major League at the end and Zeke Swantwini and Kayenda Sol and Sunil Musician. So it's just, it's like, it feels like 20 years of being curated, and you all just experience so much, and there's so many layers to it. I think two big questions, the most important questions that we're getting, the hardest ones to answer, is what time is the best time to arrive? Mm. What time it opens, arrive then and hold on for the next 12 hours. That would be my advice. And the dress code. The dress code. It's a luxurious Marvel circus.
Listen, so. the girls have all been thinking about this for months.
Yeah.
I'm suddenly shitting myself about like, having to find something.
I have a big point on this, and there might be somebody watching, and I just want to say to him, you can't wear tracksuit pants.
No.
And if he's watching, he knows who he is, and he does wear nice ones, but there's no tracksuit pants. To be honest, that's the probably, I could tell you every single thing you want to know about this festival, but the dress code is the one place that even I'm struggling because
you're the concept and ideas man. So come on, tell us what we should wear.
You know, the team have done two great posts around the dress code, but the challenge is that you've got a day event that evolves into a spectacular night event. Mm. And you know, Greg, he's kept telling us, guys, the day experience is quite different to the night experience. Like it really does. It just comes alive at night because you've got so many different opportunities. So on the dress code, oh man, I've heard Burning Man meets Coachella, meets Rage Festival, meets everything. It's hot out there. You know, we were there when we broke ground last week, Sunday. We got there at 1 o'clock. It was 29 degrees. We left at 5 o'clock. It was almost 33, 34 degrees. So pack a bag. For guys, she's just dress up and make the most of the opportunity.
I think that's the point. Yeah. Just dress up. Whatever that means to you, just dress up.
I had Shamila in here the other day, who Greg knows as well. And she was saying to me, and it's correct. Like, if you're going to something like this, and I'll get to Carl's comment and a lot of other people have questions too. We're running out of time, but we'll get there. You either go big or you don't go at all. Like, if you're going to dress up properly. There's nothing worse than those people who just, they do like the, put a stupid hat on or something, and that's their whole outfit. Like, go properly. That's all. Otherwise, you're going to feel stupid.
You know, we almost have a rule of thumb for
that. Look at Sunil. He wore his Sunil Osman jacket and his Sunil Osman shirt. I mean, that's the way to go. You know, I'll give him a lot of shit, but that's the way to go.
That's a nice picture of you.
Very nice, Sunil. Yeah. All right. So, Carl says here, even the people who didn't work hard and who just inherited the money, they deserve the luxury too. I mean, why not?
Brilliant.
Right? Gareth the Hermit is going, this is going to be huge. Okay, well, I don't know if I should be the reason that you... art installations. Tell us about the performers, because there are going to be people running around the whole time doing stuff.
Including the musicians, who are the smaller part of it. I know there's 138 acts, because I know the numbers, as you say.
138.
Of that, probably 85, 90 are performers, not musicians and their accomplices. Mm-hmm. We've got on stage things like stilt walkers, mimes, a lot of aerial. So even a big frame that's going to fly up into the air on the stage. So I think we've got 10 aerial points in the stage.
If you get very drunk, you're going to be confused as hell. There's going to be so much to be
so overstimulated.
A lot. And then there's a whole dance performance crew, and please don't think festival dance, you know, this business. It's very curated performance to go with the choreography of our show moments. And then in the field, we've got a lot of serendipitous, just come and have a moment with you. Again, it's mimes, it's magicians. And we're doing some quite cool stuff. You spoke about let the people who can afford it have that moment.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can also do it with mindfulness. And we've got a huge purpose piece underpinning this festival, which we're not shouting about now. It's
You'll
a
like
big
that.
Part of our post-communication. And it's around feed more mouths and fuel more magic. And the idea is we're a highly decadent environment. Mm. So how can we then make a difference by on the food scarcity side? Mm. And fuel more magic, how do we inspire the arts? Because we're a highly creative space. So with the National School of Arts, we've got 20 performers coming.
Sure.
We are going to be working with them to donate towards infrastructure they need at their school. And then they will have performers who will come and get to perform at the space. Yeah. With us, and there's a whole lot going on. Well, it's I know we're short on time, but on the feed more mouth side, all of the food that is unused, because I think there will be unused food,
sure,
is all being collected by SA Harvest, redistributed after the festival. We're working with a program called Holonati. We're making quite a significant donation. It's hundreds of thousands to feed tens of thousands of people on a sustainable, ongoing basis. So there's a lot. We're very aware of this.
Okay, so you thought about it. It's not just a big party.
No.
Mm-mm. But
South Africa's been losing out on so many things since 2010 because of our shitty socioeconomic situation. It's great to see people say, screw that, we'll just do it ourselves, which is really what you guys are doing too. I love it.
And I think, Gav, that's a great point, because we've spent years importing. If you think about what are the coolest parties everyone's ever been to over the years, they're big concerts, events. Mm. They are, we did Sensation and all these things, international artists, Ultra Music Festival. It's all the stuff that we keep buying in. And why?
Now we're giving some.
Let's create something that's incredible for us locally, purely for us. And hell, if the world takes notice, they can buy it from us too.
And sold out.
Almost. Saturday is basically sold out. I think the tables on Saturday have been gone for 3 months. I think we've got about 100 playground on the field tickets left of the 3,000 that we had for Saturday. So Sunday, there's a few more tables. I think there's about, I think it'd be four tables left on Sunday. So if you want a table, there's literally four. And the playground tickets is a couple of hundred left for Sunday.
Wow.
So cool. We should be, if we're not, Saturdays, it will definitely be sold out. There's no question. And Sunday, if it's not sold out, will certainly be.
Now, what time does it start on
95%. 12 o'clock doors open.
Sure. Okay.
And
get there nice and early.
Get there
and
early.
It closes at
12. Sunday, Sunday 11
be there
for the local.
12 hours. And as Adam says, like constant stimulation. Eating, seeing cool things, just experiencing a lovely vibe, atmosphere, plenty to keep you entertained. It's amazing. Look at this. Wow. How's that for a lineup? You can hardly fit everyone on the screen. Okay. This is excellent. Yeah. I saw Dino on Saturday at a wedding, and Abby was there as well.
Yeah.
Abby New Rock. So that's good. Couple of very, very impressive people here, and some I've never heard of, who I'm sure will be amazing.
And the one thing that you won't see there is a single international artist, and that's deliberate.
Excellent.
We discussed it over and over again.
All homegrown.
All homegrown. And there were people within our own partnership saying, guys, like, maybe we need an international just to flex it over the line, make sure we sell those tickets. To be honest, I didn't want to release the lineup at all. That was a battle that I lost. This is not, if you think you're coming here because of the names on a poster, you've missed the point completely. They're there to add to the whole experience.
I see that's Jay not, something is listed there under not only chef but also as part of Mikasa.
Correct, yes.
I see David Higgs. So for the people who are foodies, we've got Ruben Riffle. I mean, these are big names. You've really pulled it all
together.
Can
you pronounce the third one there, Gareth?
Who's that?
David Higgs, Jay something, and then
who's
just
that?
If you could just read that.
Katsuhiko Miyamoto.
It's not bad. He's the head chef from Zoo that is ex Nobu. So.
Bloody amazing. Oh, didn't we have some extremely expensive sushi there?
We did. We had the bluefin.
Jesus, tell me what it was. Just everybody has to look at Greg because he's going to get this right now. Just put the camera on Greg.
So
say it again.
So the Marvel Group at Zoo, they turned Asian, roaring Asian, about a year ago.
Yeah.
And they bring in these bluefin tuna, which I'm not going to... The size of this couch.
They weigh
300 kilos.
Super
expensive. They cost well over R1 million a fish to bring them in.
Just the fish. Right? So after the fish is gone, there's nothing for that million.
See, fish
have value. But a single piece of sashimi from that fish, just a little, you get the salmon, a piece of the bluefin tuna sashimi is R250 a piece. And that's what we were gorging ourselves on. And we thought it was pretty good.
And I'm not a foodie, but I'm actually really excited about the whole experience. Again, YOLO, and to be around cool people, doing fun things where everybody is so focused on entertaining you and making sure you have the best time ever. I don't see any reason why people couldn't be excited about this. Looking at the artist lineup, I would go for everything but the music, says Sebastian, but he's a real asshole. I'm sure the experience will be amazing. The luxurious marble circus. Great decision, guys. Local needs a stage like this, says Barely Vocal Media. Roxanne says it looks like Tomorrowland crossed with Gatsby with incredible food. Yeah. Frosting, very good.
She gets it.
Okay, so she gets it. Yeah, there are lots of people who are starting to get it here. Does that tuna come partitioned already? If you mess it up, you're down bad. They have to with that kind of... I watched a documentary about this once. There are people whose whole life is devoted and dedicated to being able to portion that fish out in just the right way. So there's a guy who's trained his whole life, not like your fucking Reiki that you did for like what, a week and a half. Like these people spend their whole life learning how to cut that perfect little piece of sashimi. It's quite incredible. Wow. I'm very excited. I love it. I love also the idea that this is the best of the best of the best. You're not going to skimp on anything.
I can tell you, just to like, you talk about the best, and you're right, there's been no compromise. Mm-hmm. There's nothing from the napkins that we printed, that we chose the fabric of, there has been no compromise, to the point that, you know, I mean, it's context is everything, but we are spending 9 million rand more than we thought we were going to spend. Once we already had planned the whole, what all the areas would be, we're now spending 9 million more than that, because that is the level of no compromise we went to. We were lucky. We had certain wins with amazing brands who came in and have managed to help us on some of that. But I hope you're not compromise.
I hope you're not making a loss in this, because I know someone called Greg Walsh will be very, very pissed off if he doesn't do well out of this.
I think we've had to take the mindset of long-term investment. I don't know. We won't make a loss, but we certainly, I think with the amount of revenue that this has generated, particularly from brand partners, we could have taken the view of gone, let's make ourselves a lot of money.
Okay, but the
decision was, this is a long-term plan.
And it's a showcase for what may come in the future.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we believe this can grow in not just in total number of people. I think that's probably the most place we've got to be the most careful not to grow it too much. Mm-hmm. But I think we can grow it with the way that brand partners can participate, certain luxurious experiences within the experience. So, yeah, view is long-term.
I was thinking it's going to have like a really big impact on music tourism, food tourism, that kind of thing in the future.
Absolutely. I just had the guy in from KLM and Air France just now. He's the country manager, and he said that he has a real problem getting people excited about Joburg.
Yeah.
Because there aren't these focal points, right? And people hear terrible things about Joburg in other parts of the world. And they go, we can't go there. Yeah. Cape Town has this great reputation. Yeah. But I was, as I mentioned, I was at this wedding on Saturday. And I looked out over Johannesburg with all these jacaranda blossoms and, you know, the sunset and just beautiful people having a wonderful time. And I thought, Joburg actually is fantastic. Yeah. And I'm sick to death of people saying it's a shithole and doesn't work properly and this is wrong and it's all bad. And actually, this place is spectacular. There's an energy. You talk about energy, Sunil. Mm. There's a great energy in Joburg, and it's about time we had something like this to hold that, to create a space where we can all go and enjoy it and celebrate this bloody place rather than just keep denigrating it and letting other people denigrate it. Yeah. Let's build it up.
The two places I've been robbed in my life are the La Ramblas in Barcelona and on the train in Paris.
Right.
You know, like everyone focuses, like you said, focus on the negatives of Johannesburg.
You fought them off in Joburg, but you just not a chance. All right. Well, Greg, Adam, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sunil,
thank you.
Lovely to have you here today. And thank you for putting up with all my shit about your Reiki. And this is going to be amazing. We will we'll post lots of pictures, and there'll be plenty on social media for those who are going to miss out. And you know what? Next time, get in there quick and book yourself a ticket. Dirk says, hopefully this reignites, thank you, some great initiatives in the food industry with talent development and all the rest. It sounds like it already is.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Well done. Okay, we will see you on Friday bright and early at 6 a.m. Have an awesome Wednesday. Ciao. Oh,